big things about the Spencer novels, at least for me, you know, places in Boston. You go, well, I've been there, you know, this.
Right.
And you kind of capture that as well with your writing.
Right. So Neely is, she's about 10 years old when we meet her. And as I said, she's got an older brother and sister. She's got a father who is sort of getting by with a number of things. The scene, the story opens with a scene of a trapping. The father is a trapper to earn extra money, and that's something that I think we don't think about anymore, all the ways that people got by with extra money. So Neely's part of that, and the father actually deserts the family right in the first chapter.
Oh.
And that sets up a whole storyline of this, you know, really being deserted essentially by her parents and left to make decisions on her own, and that's never a good thing, you know. When a child basically has to figure out the big issues in life, and that's what she's doing in this story. She's taking care of herself, and there is a storyline of revenge that gets set up because of her father, and she's left to deal with it.
You know, and it was definitely a different time, especially, you know, for a young lady growing up in this time, you know, 10 years old. And as we trace her, this is way before women's rights, you know,
mm-hmm.
way before, you know, the atypical woman that we think of today. It was a different time to grow up in.
Yeah, her mother is a housewife. So when the mother is deserted, she has to figure out how to earn an income. She hadn't planned on that. Neely herself is not even, you know, at her age thinking about what do I want to be when I grow up. And unfortunately for her, some of that gets set in motion. And in terms of the things that she does, it takes away some of her options of what she can do.
So we follow the book through Neely's eyes, so to speak.
Totally through Neely's eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a story that I think, you know, that probably older teenagers would enjoy as well as through adults, because I really tried to stay true to, you know, the feelings of Neely and her age and her character, and the way that she saw things would not be the same as, you know, one of us looking
right,
and telling
right.
the same story.
And also, I think it would have to be a difficult time for her mom being, you know, deserted in a time where you never heard of, you know, single moms, running households, or few and far between.
Right,
yeah.
And the mother actually, you know, doesn't handle it well, and that leaves Neely on her own.
Yeah, that kind of really does leave her, because she kind of got into something I think that she regretted, you know, from the book a little bit, you know, that she would rather be back in the old brownstones of Beacon Hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although
she would never say that, so she just takes that on herself, and I think the other thing that people didn't address back then is she becomes what we would look at now as clinically depressed, and
yeah,
is unavailable emotionally to her children. And, you know, that's also a theme that goes through it.
Now, Neely is the oldest in the...
Neely is the youngest.
The youngest, okay. So
yes.
What about the relationship between her and siblings?
Yeah, so that's part of what happens, is that she really loses her siblings as well. The older brother, as happens sometimes back then, got his girlfriend pregnant.
Mm.
So he's suddenly a father himself, and he is dealing with those issues. The older sister, when things fall apart in the family, she goes to stay with an aunt in Boston, so she is also not there. Again, Neely's there on her own and without the siblings to help her out either.
One of the turning points, or one of the big parts of this book, and I don't want to give too much away, is there is an accident. There's a very tragic accident that happens on the farm, and it kind of puts a lot of things into motion, doesn't it?
And I think trying to dance around it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I don't want to give.
There is gun violence. Is that what you're referring?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which you wouldn't think of.
That does put everything in action. And I think when I talked about why this is also a story for today, you know, houses back then in the countryside, everyone had guns.
Sure. You had it right over the mantelpiece.
Over the mantelpiece. I have to say, growing up myself, there was a gun rack with a number of guns, and they were there. They were available. People knew how to pick them up and use them. And that is essentially not a good safe thing.
No.
With children who don't have the judgment to go with the weapon.
We're talking with Betsy Fitzgerald. Neely's Truth is the new book. Betsy, why did this time frame, this decade, or this period in time. Why did it call to you?
Well, it's set, you know, without giving away my age, it's set a little bit before my time. So it is, again, I think it just appeals to me because I saw it as a cleaner, again, more innocent time where you could drop away a lot of the other things that are in our society and just focus on the pure story of what happens with this family. And that appealed to me. To be able to do that. I think once you get into our times, you know, it's everything is more complex. So I wanted to tell a pure story, and that's what I went for.
And I think it's a tribute to you and your writing, Betsy. Neely, your heart goes out to her. It really does. I mean, you know, just from reading, and sometimes that's difficult, you know, in a character in a book. But you've been able to accomplish that. What did you like about this character?
Well, first of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what I was hoping for, that people would react to her that in a way that made you want to step in and help her, but you can't.
Right.
You can't. She has to tell the story. What reacted to, you know, for me, I started this book without a plan. I had an opening scene, and I had this young girl sitting on her back stoop, and I really followed her, and that's the kind of writer I am. I kind of like the discovery process.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I went along on this journey with her, and there were times where I wrote chapters and said, oh, my God, I wish she didn't do that, you know, because I know what's coming next. But that's sometimes the joy of writing, and also the difficult part is if you really let the character take off.
Well, I was going to say, is that something in writing, and that's amazing to me, is that you kind of let, you know, it's an out-of-body type of third world. You know, you let the character dictate what's going on rather than you as the writer. That's amazing.
For me, it is.
Yeah.
I think it partly goes back to my roots as a journalist because I, you know, as a journalist, you see a scene, you report it. You try to not put yourself into that. And that's really the way I approach fiction writing, too. So I think it's kind of my particular style of doing that. But it's the way I do it. I don't know any other way, really.
Hey, let's just take a little sidetrack here. We're talking with Betsy Fitzgerald, Nelly's Truth. The way publishing is working these days, and I talk to a lot, the established authors, of course, they're fine, but somehow a part of it is getting easier to be published or self-published, and some of it is becoming very, very tough for you to get your product for the book or whatever to get out there. How did it work for you, Betsy?
So this book had a, you know, it had a little bit of both in terms of traditional and non-traditional. At one point, I had it represented by an agent, and we were going the traditional route of, sending it to publishers in New York and all that. It's a difficult story, and it didn't get grabbed up because at the time, you know, it was kind of pre- what we call YA, young adult books now, I think are much more
they're the craze.
Exciting,
I mean,
everything.
Yeah.
And at the time it was being pitched, it wasn't really a young adult book. It wasn't considered that. And nobody quite knew what to do with it. So I kind of pulled it back, and I sat on it, as I said, for a while until a year or so ago. And I, you know, made the active decision to do an independent publication, meaning, you know, I put the blood, sweat, and tears into getting it published. We did your Kickstarter project, in terms of getting it launched, all those pieces to really build some interest and buzz around it. And it takes a lot of work to do that, honestly.
I would imagine. I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting. And I think the whole world of publishing is exciting right now. You know, I think you still have to pay attention to all the quality points that go with a book, having a good editor who goes over it, which I did, having a great designer for the cover. All those pieces still have to be done, and I think that's important, and we really tried to do a great job bringing this book out.
Are you out there doing book signings and the like? Any place to, because you're in the area, I'm wondering if,
Yeah, so we're just starting to set those up.
I'm
one of those writers who also has a day job.
You haven't retired with a big residual.
Everything takes longer.
You haven't get a chance to retire on that big residual check yet.
Yeah, not quite yet, but looking forward to that, of course.
Maybe when it's optioned for a movie or something. Yeah?
I think it would make a great movie, don't you?
You're putting me on the spot, but yes,
yeah,
I do.
Am.
No, I certainly do. I think it reads, and you know, I like the whole thing about dealing with a time that is not that far in the past or in the future. I mean, just a couple decades ago, that kind of we've sort of forgotten how things were done then, and a lot of things were done totally different. I think that's refreshing, and you hit on that in the book.
Right. I mean, and we're talking about generations now who,
yeah,
that is history for them bit.
Yeah.
But it's still familiar. It's still familiar. And I think, you know, living in a small town as I do now, there are still things that feel familiar to me about lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. You know, still those 4th of July parades and, you know.
Yeah,
you
all
know,
that good small town stuff. Yeah,
there's a lot to,
still there.
You know, there is still a lot to be said about small town America. There really is. And as long as we can keep that alive and well, I think it's cool.
I agree. And I hope people don't take away from this that I'm, you know, it's that I'm negative about small towns. I'm not at all. I think they're, you know, it's a lovely way to live, lovely mm-hmm. way to raise a family. But they're like big towns. Bad stuff happens.
Yeah, everywhere. You know,
yeah,
it's not
absolutely.
Just, you're right. Betsy, it's been a pleasure. If people want to find out more or how they can get a copy of Nelly's Truth, what's the best way to do that?
So I would say it's online, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. They can ask for it at any bookstore. They can also check me out at BetsyFitzgerald.com, and there's more information about the book there as well.
And I'm sure you're just like me, Betsy. You know, if we both love to read, we want to keep all those little independent booksellers going. So if you know one, go in and ask for it. They can order it for you, and you know, buy it locally, shop locally, support the local folks. It's
absolutely. Love the locals.
There you go. Hey, listen, Betsy, it's been a pleasure, and you know, keep in touch and let us know if you're doing any signings up this way. We'd love to give it a plug and maybe come on by and say hi as well.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay. Betsy Fitzgerald. The book is called Nelly's Truth, which is a really kind of cool thing about the 50s and also small-town New England. Just happens to be small-town Groton, Massachusetts, just down the road from us. So best of luck to a local author doing well. All right, Chris, let's take a break. The cafe is open here on 980 WCAP.